The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for over 30 years.
Cat Attack Kerr's Hire Podcast. I meant to say that this is the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast. Can you? My head is still spinning. You've just been Ming the Merciless sort of style. There's been a tea leaf misreading, I believe, from the Cats. You've come from the press conference.
Well,
and
yeah,
what's just
the,
happened?
From the Zoom press conference.
Oh, yeah.
So I've just been sitting in my office here at K-Rock. So four changes are going to be made.
Oh, okay. I'll give you the ends.
Yep.
Dangerfield.
Yep.
Duncan.
Yep.
Blitzarves.
Yep.
And Cam Guthrie.
No.
Who's the fourth?
O'Connor. Cam Guthrie not playing.
Right. So
shoulder.
No good. We'll get back to that. But then out.
Well, we know one.
Right.
He's very stiff. He's average.
Okay, I'll throw a few names at you. Very stiff.
He's very stiff.
Been playing well?
Very, very well. Career best form in a very small career.
Jack Henry.
No.
Well, I left him out of the first round for Zach Guthrie.
I did. I actually put up during the week on Twitter. I said, surely there needs to be a Royal Commission into why Jack Henry didn't play round one.
Should be too. Okay, so playing well and has been dropped.
Yep.
Jeez. Brad Close.
No. Well, not that we know of. So there are going to be four players dropped. I think Busey will keep his spot. We know of
okay,
one.
Okay, so who's got the chop?
He's averaged 25 and a half possessions or thereabouts.
I know who you're talking about.
29 and a half.
He wears a number made famous by Neville Bruns.
He does. And Derek Hall.
And he's been dropped.
Quentin
Arkell is out.
Been dropped.
So can you explain to me why then... So you've just come from the press conference.
Yes.
And there's four outs.
Yes.
And you only know about one of them. Why his name was thrown up?
I think because Chris Scott wanted to make a point that he used the term unlucky.
Unlucky.
I wouldn't go with unlucky. I'd go with very stiff.
I would sort of suggest...
Yeah. Rigor mortis is set in stiff.
Every decision has a sort of consequence, and that decision and the club are in a position where they can go on now and challenge for the flag. They've got a really deep list. That's the end of Quentin Arkell at Geelong.
Yeah,
you can't have 36 and 25 and then get dropped.
He was very non-committal when he spoke to us after the Gold Coast game.
Yeah, he's gone. That's sort of
old Ralphie Carr is, I'd suspect,
he's on the blower now.
Yep,
right now.
He already was.
Yeah, but he's even more on the blower now. Saying, did you just hear that my client was dropped after having career high 34?
And then 25.
Yeah, in a game where quite a few players didn't play that well and it was putrid. He was one that actually played okay. And then gets the old Coke and Sars.
Yeah,
you're disappointed for him more than anything. I mean, he's
got some ability.
He spoke about, we had him on that K-Rock where he was non-committal. He also spoke about that he'd done quite a bit of work in terms of his fitness and his diet and part of that was the reason why he was starting to play some good footy and he was getting some opportunities. Now, he couldn't have possibly done any more.
No.
And he's not in the team.
No.
So
that tells me that O'Connor's going to play midfield and,
yeah,
play, and play a stopping role.
Yeah, on Ollie Wines.
Yep.
Maybe. Or Travis Boak. One of them.
Who's more dangerous going forward out of Wines and Boak?
Well, they're both... Oh, well, it depends on their day. They both can be.
Yeah.
Boak, potentially.
So the one,
Boak doesn't kick a lot of goals.
So you would go to the one who is most dangerous going forward because the other one, you just like letting it...
Well, you might have to oscillate. How good's that, Kim?
Oscillate.
Do a bit of oscillation.
Wow.
And if... I'm still getting over that. I'm disappointed for Narkel. I think he's... I actually really like him as a player. I think he's still, as we mentioned, very raw in terms of his games played. He gets his crack, plays well, and then's out the door. He's out the door, unfortunately. And this part of the...
Well, the thing is, too...
The byproduct of the Cats being having the team that they've got at the moment, but it's not always going to be like that, and that's when you get Quentin Arkell to 80 games, and he suddenly fills the void of a Mitch Duncan who leaves. When Quentin Arkell's not there, you're filling the void with old, Bob Stringbag, who's potentially played two games and can't get out of his own way. So
still married to Betty.
Yep, Bob and Betty are happily married, have been. for there's been no tea leaf misreading there. Heard of the interesting that Ming the Merciless, Hydro suggested that Ming's best mate Shane is Shane the Sartorial, yes. So which I thought was quite amusing. So Ming and Shane will be listening to the
Catatonic. It was good to see Hydro actually get involved on the KFC.
He's going to ring up a little bit more too, yeah.
Oh, is he going to call in Carrick?
I think he might call in Carrick, yeah. He right. quite likes it. He loves The Rock.
Talking about Carrick footy Thursday night, pre-game, Pete Ryan, who broke the Nathan Buckley
yeah.
gone story. He's going to join us from The Age. He's going to be in the K-Rock Hub with us.
Yeah, what do you reckon happened there? But Nut Bucks has got the call, knows that
yep.
that he's best just to walk out. He'll get another gig.
Oh, absolutely.
Very good coach. I reckon he's a really good coach.
You wouldn't be upset with him coaching the Cats if the job ever became available down the track.
Of all the coaches, in terms of listening to them, I mute most of them because they just talk. I like listening to Justin Longmuir because we know him through K-Rock and he's a good fellow. So I like to hear what he's got to say because he doesn't fluff it around. He's very straightforward. But in terms of listening to somebody who gives you something to think about, doesn't get flustered, knows the role of the media, respects that role.
Because he was in the media.
Answers the questions because even though they're curly, knows that he needs to because they're the questions he'd be asking from when he was in the media. Yep. So he gets both sides of the spectrum. And Nathan Buckley does it better than absolutely anybody.
Yep.
And his team, played in the grand final in 2018 and then got within a poofteenth of making it in 2019.
Yep.
Can't tell me in 2 years he's become a bad coach.
No, he's not a bad coach.
No, he's not.
There's a lot of external...
Yeah, there's a lot of thing happening and there's expectation for Collingwood is that they're not where they are right now.
Yep.
And there's a lot of things that have been outside his control, unfortunately.
Hmm.
I mean, so anyway, but that's for... But he'll get another gig.
Yep.
100%. So he might do a year in the media or whatever it is, but at some point someone will be knocking.
He could write his own ticket in the media.
Yeah.
There'll be some blokes in the media going...
We'll have him on The Rock. Just an off-Broadway sort of signing.
Well, he and Nieldy did some stuff together. I'm sure Nieldy will put
in
a good word for us.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, I'm sure, of course he will. He's good mates with John Warswell too. He never got him on at all. Jeez, haven't the Don's gone forward since John's left? Wow. Goodness me. I don't know if there's much in that, but they seem to have... So once the shackles were taken off, they're playing some actually really attractive foot. I know they were beaten by Richmond, but they were... They played quite well in that game.
Dusty Parrish seems to be a different footballer,
too. Yes, a lot of them seem to be different. And they've got a few out, too. Mm. Smith and Scheel and, they're gone on. Anyway, back to the Cats.
So, yes, the Cats, they will make at least four changes. Well, it's four changes. So Myers will hopefully be next week.
Yeah.
So that.
But he probably comes back through the Scoobs.
Does he?
Well, I mean, I maybe might have to have a run or two in the Scoobies.
If there is Scoobies for them to have a run in.
Well, that's it.
The talk is the VFL will have... The VFL been told to prepare to play this weekend, is what Chris Scott said in his media conference. But I think it's all dependent on fixturing and Victorian restrictions and the like. So we'll wait and see what happens there. But, yeah, the Quinton Narkle one... It was interesting that Chris Scott was so on the front foot with it.
See, that's a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it's a good thing. Yeah, a bit of transparency there, rather than waiting it. And Chris Scott talking to it, rather than, well, team comes out at 20 past six, and the next time he'll actually be questioned about it is either by the host broadcaster.
Did he say he couldn't basically have done any more?
Basically, yeah. Yeah, he said it was a tough conversation to have.
That's the problem, yeah. And this is the it's a good thing for Geelong in some ways.
It's potentially
be a bad thing long term,
yep.
But short term it's a good thing in that they can do that for a player who is playing well.
Now, I know you, not Chris Scott, and we have here at K-Rock, but to put it out there and then let the media grill him on it, why, how was it handled, etc., was, I thought, fair play by Chris.
Yeah, that's all good. Anyway, there's a tea leaf misreading there any for the Cats, but anyway, look, it's good. Get O'Connor in. Dangerfield, we've mentioned that play probably has to play forward, given that he hasn't played for a bit.
So there's two dynamics that have worked well here since he's been out of the team. The midfield dynamic, but no Cam Guthrie. And then the forward dynamic with all of a sudden you've got Cameron, Hawkins, Rowan, Dullhouse, Close, working in...
Working well. Yeah.
So where does Dangerfield go where... he actually adds something to the side. And Matty Knight spoke to us pre the Collingwood game. You asked the question about that. Can you remember what you asked him?
I was basically in a nice way, and I said that is there a concern? And I said it is a good concern to have, but is there a concern of bringing Patrick Dangerfield back into a midfield that has worked well together over the last period without him in it? You know, and he's such an imposing type of player, and the way he plays and his profile and his presence. So he becomes a really dominating figure. So they've got the group working really well, albeit against Collingwood they didn't have Duncan and Guthrie, so it was a different mix there. But they'd worked really well together prior to that and seemed to be building. And he used the word, Matthew Knights used the word, synergy, which I quite like. I wrote it down, synergy. So he suggested they were getting synergy. Now, as great as Dangerfield is, does he short-term upset that synergy? Because he has a certain style of play, and he is very good at it. But is it going to be good for the mix that they've been building? Now, we also said, will he play forward? And he said yes. So does he upset the mix up forward, or indeed does he become the fifth sort of wheel in an impossible matchup and kick five goals?
Yeah, all of a sudden, yeah. So your three best defenders are going to Hawkins, Cameron and Rowan, and all of a sudden you've got to find a matchup for a 6'2", 90-kilo explosive ball of muscle.
They're really good problems to have, but they need to get that right. And I think, you know, some of the greatest players aren't the most coachable players. And that's probably why sometimes they're great players. They don't stick to any great plan, but they do. Patrick Dangerfield is probably one of those players.
He's a bit like the number five that used to roam the goal square for Geelong.
Well, he was completely uncoachable. He was on next level compared to Patrick Dangerfield. I mean, let's be honest. Patrick Dangerfield's a good player, but he's not in the same realm as the great number five.
No.
But
how many are?
No, not very few. In fact, none. None that I've watched. And even it was disappointing that Gary Ablett Jr. used to sometimes run around and get the handball behind. Dad was never doing that. Dad wasn't wasting his energy getting handballs behind.
No.
He was ironing people out, kicking goals from 75 and then standing on their head and then doing some of the most extraordinary. I've never been a footy game where he used to just burst out laughing at some of the stuff he used to do. He used to make his opposition players, he used to embarrass them weekly, like quarterly. Anyway, so Dangerfield coming back, it'll be really interesting to see how that goes and how much his fitness has been diminished. He's not a great aerobic player. He's a great burst player.
Yep.
So, you know, that means he's probably, how many weeks will he need to play more predominantly forward than into the midfield? And you wonder, did Geelong get into that? Because it's been a habit that when they're behind, they throw Dangerfield into the midfield to try and generate something. You know, do they resist that temptation if it's not going their way on Thursday night? Because he doesn't have the fitness there. It'll be really interesting to see how it plays out, not only tomorrow night, but over the course of the next 3 or 4 weeks.
It starts the next big 4 weeks tomorrow night.
Yeah, it's huge.
Port Adelaide into the Dogs, which we don't know whether it'll be at GMHBA Stadium or not. You hope it will stay there, especially with restrictions being eased here in regional Vic and that we might be able to have a crowd and, you know, maybe at 50% next Friday night.
Yeah.
Up to Brisbane 6 days later to come back and play, as you said, an improving Essendon side.
Yeah.
It's massive month.
It is, yeah. Looking forward to it.
2-2 the pass there.
Yeah, 2-2 would be good. Just competitive.
2-2 gets you to then 10-5.
Yeah, that's...
Knowing that you've still got 3 games at GMHBA Stadium to round things out in the last 3 rounds.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good... That'd be... 2-2 would be... Brisbane and Brisbane will be tough. I think they're more of a chance of beating Port Adelaide in Adelaide than they are of beating Brisbane in Brisbane.
Yep.
I think that's a tougher game.
Yep.
Not to say Port's not tough, but I think if Geelong get it right, they can beat Port Adelaide. And, I mean, if they get it right, they can beat Brisbane too, but I think that's a tougher game.
They're just so undersized. I know Allaire changes them, but...
He's good, Allaire.
He is a good player, but defensively, they're still... I've still a question mark on them down back.
Yeah, well, the Cats don't... Yeah, I mean, they got Radaglia, I suppose. Yeah, look, they are. What's the weather forecast? Because we're hitting the precipitation sort of months.
No, I haven't seen what Adelaide is.
Because you want to know what the weather... If it's going to be like 13 and rain, then it doesn't matter how big you are. I'll let my fingers do the walking, Kingy.
Yep.
Sort of yellow pages.
Hello,
stop.
Yellow, now
does
you're
any,
talking.
Does anybody ever do that anymore?
I'm not sure.
Do they let their fingers do the walking?
No.
So today, tomorrow night, Kingy.
Yes.
It suggests here on the Bureau of Meteorology in Adelaide, it says partly cloudy, perfect for key forwards.
Oh, is that actually?
Winds southerly 20 to 30 kilometres. No need for ground level players. And it says here, if you are going tall up, this is on the Bureau of Meteorology.
I love how they do this for football games.
It says if you are going tall up forward, and it's just got a big tick.
Right.
So 10 to 17.
So we are assuming that Radaglia is the big that survives.
Oh, yeah, we don't know who's out, do we? I would have thought.
Yep.
Yeah, even though he wasn't great against Collingwood, but he's going to play quite good.
So who else comes out? Zach Guthrie?
Yeah, he's got to, and no relation, yeah.
Yep. Rupert.
No relation to Larry.
Do you want some questions?
Yeah, we got any?
Mr. Catman, hey, fellas, will this be the old post-buy curse this week, or can we defy the odds? As good as Port Art or can be, surely, even with O'Leary now in their back line, Hawkins, Cameron and Ronald will be too much for them. If our kids break even, we should be a big, big chance. And do you think Jordan Clark may be out of the team because Chris Scott hates his hair? Wow. No, I'm not sure why he's... He just doesn't give enough, Clark, unfortunately.
No, I watched... And I know we've spoken about this before, but I did watch the Freo Bulldogs game on Sunday night.
Yep.
And Sean Darcy played well.
He's injured now.
Yeah, I know, he's injured, but I'd love to get our hands on him. If we're going to lose Narkle, which we are...
Narkle and Clark for Darcy?
Yes. If we're going to lose him, let's get something in return. Darcy is a very good player, and I think he's got a lot of improvement. He still carries 22. A bit of puppy fat. He's not ribbed up, as they'd say in the classics.
But by 28...
By the time he's 26, 27 and got 100 games under his belt, he's starting to take contested marks around the ground. Mm. Took about 3 or 4 against the Dogs. And let's go all out to get a kid who's from Cobden and has some ties to the nephew of... He's a nephew of Tim Darcy.
Yep.
So he has some ties to Geelong. Whether or not he's got any interest in coming back, I have no idea, but let's be at least throwing that line out there.
Yeah, absolutely. The post-bye curse. So the Cats in the mid-season bye, so coming off the game that they've had off in the middle of the year, so between sort of round 8 and round 14, are winless since 2012, since that bye came in.
So is that Catman?
That is Mr. Catman.
Yeah, well, it's a good point. Is it different during COVID?
Well, the Cats' mid-season bye last year was ended up only being an 8-day break.
They've gone to Guantanamo Bay, haven't they, with the Cats? What are they doing? Where have they gone?
They're here.
Oh, they're quarantining somewhere.
They're either at home or they're at...
And none of the kids are allowed to go to school.
No. Hang on. So half are at home, the other half are at a local hotel. So Tom Hawkins is among those at the local shack down on the foreshore. And that's because, obviously, he's got Emma working and the kids at home. So instead of interrupting them, where they would have to stay inside the house, basically, he's got one that's gone and made the sacrifice for a couple of nights.
Oh, right.
But the Cats have got to overcome a little bit of the hoodoo.
Yeah, they do, no doubt. And if they keep losing, they'll have to continue to overcome it. I don't know whether the sort of the whole COVID thing and... but Catman's right. The club will... say that there's nothing in it, and there probably isn't, other than it's just a coincidence losing that game, but until they win one.
And some of those have been really tight games too. I went through and did the record, and there's been ones where they've lost by a kick or 10 points. They've been horrible in a couple of them, but that was going back 7 or 8 years
ago. And would
it
be fair to say too that given where the Cats have been on the ladder over that period, that game off the bye is genuinely a pretty good game because it's on...
Yep. So it's Port Adelaide for the second time in 3 years.
Yeah, so it's not against...
No, they've played the Swan.
North on a Saturday afternoon. It's generally a more marquee game.
Thursday or Friday night.
Yeah, and it's quite a few of them, I imagine, been on the road.
A lot of them, I think only 2 down here.
Yeah.
About 4 or 5 interstate. Trip to Perth, trip to Sydney.
So there are factors
Ash McGrath game was one of them.
Oh, I was there. We were there that
day. We did that one.
He kicked the 55-metre drop punt.
Yep.
That was a shootout at the OK Corral that game.
How Geelong lost that? I've got no idea.
No, so there are factors in that they have why they have lost. It hasn't, but they'd love to win this one. This is a really, to go 9-3 and put themselves then a game clear of Port Adelaide. Are they
They're 8-3, aren't they?
And they don't want to keep touch with the Dogs, and they also want to keep touch with...
But do you know it's not going to matter, though? Because I think that Melbourne and the Dogs will just finish 1-2.
Oh, not if the Pussycats can beat Port Adelaide this week and then beat the Dogs the following.
No, but I still think Melbourne and the Dogs will finish 1-2.
Maybe, but if Geelong keep winning, it's not a foregone conclusion.
No, but let's just say Melbourne and the Dogs finish 1-2. Whether the Cats finish third or fourth is irrelevant. They just need to finish top four because they're going to play five.
Well, so they don't want to lose this weekend.
No.
That's exactly. They don't want to start losing games.
No, but I still think 1-2. Yeah. I can't see Melbourne dropping a top two spot from here.
Yeah.
11-1.
Well, Melbourne won't.
No.
I think the Dulbogs. The Dulbogs. The Bulldogs are still gettable if Geelong were to win this week and then beat them.
Yeah,
they join them on the same. They'd be 10-3.
Dogs have to lose now. What are the Dogs?
9-2, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. They win this week and beat them.
9-2, 10-2. No, they're 10-2.
How many games they played? They played one more than the Cats.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, if the Cats beat them, then they join them on three losses.
Yeah. Daz Broncos has fired in from over in the US, Benny. Real shame Liv Purcell's decided to leave the club, but you can't keep someone who does not want to stay. So she's off to Melbourne. Unfortunately, the Cats pick up a couple of players, one from Adelaide, Chloe Shear, premiership player, and also pick up a Demon. Now, is Narkle in the same boat this year? We think that he's already gone to be with Bolton, wherever he ends up, like Kirsten and Hamlin did in moving to Freo, or is it possible that he's happy enough at Geelong and is saber-rattling to boost his contract offer? I think Quinton Narkle's going.
I think it is. It's inevitable. He just wants more opportunities, and clearly getting dropped on the back of averaging 25 possessions, averaging nearly 30 possessions, suggests that he's just not getting the opportunities. He wants to go to a club where he's going to be able to. If he's putting out numbers like that, there's no way known that he's being dropped. That's just the way footy works.
8-point game this week, and we have to break the bye hoodoo at some point. Might as well start this week. That'd be nice.
It'd be 9-3. Really, it's a big one. Real big one, this. Because I
think if you get to 9-3, you're almost guaranteeing yourself you're going to finish top four.
I had, early on, I was sort of on Port Adelaide in terms of being the premiership team.
Right.
I thought they had every base covered. They flew the, in terms of using a rats on stilts, parlance, which is the Greyhounds, they flew the lids.
Yep.
Box one, red rug, they were off. They were on the bunny. I watched the game against Freo, which was two weeks ago.
Sunday twilight game.
And Freo had control of that game for quite some period. They just couldn't really score. And they got Port Adelaide jumped them. And the remaining three quarters, Freo were the equal of Port Adelaide. So I was just starting to think, maybe Port Adelaide are not as good as I thought, and they're very gettable for a team that's probably got more talent than the Dockers, who I think the Dockers are heading in the right direction, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Tomorrow night, we said Pete Ryan's going to join us.
Newsbreaker.
I think Sean Grigg's going to join us from the Cats.
Is he?
Yeah, which would be good. And also joining us, former Cat and Port Adelaide player.
Oh, hang on. Give me a hint. Recent?
90s.
Bowen Lockwood?
No, he didn't play for the Cats.
He played at the college, didn't he?
Yeah,
how long ago? 90s?
Yep.
Played
50 games consecutive from debut.
For who?
Geelong.
And then went to Port. Shane Brewer.
He's going to join us.
Yeah, right. He was a good player, Shane Brewer.
He was a good player.
Woodville, West Torrens, I reckon he came from.
He was drafted from there. He tells a good story that I won't tell you now because he's going to tell us that story tomorrow night about his drafting.
Is he a good fella?
Nice bloke. Runs a sports store up in Horsham.
Which is
where he's originally from.
He was a really classy player.
He
played with the great Gazuki.
He did. Yeah, he shared.
How old would Shane Brewer be?
He's 47 or 48.
Okay.
So he was a bit Brad Close. Didn't get a look in out of sort of, Brad Close was Colts over there. Didn't get a look out of the, I wouldn't have been TAC Cup, but he was in the, I reckon he was in the Teal Cup, Victorian Teal Cup team, the big country one. Didn't get a look in at draft time. Went to Adelaide, played in a flag with Woodville West Torrens and found himself on Geelong's list.
I remember, back in the day, and it still happens now, but in a different sort of fashion, but there was always the hype about the player you were going to get from an interstate club. What number was he drafted?
He was taken in a pre-season draft.
So Geelong had got...
At pick 70.
Yeah. So there was always this talk, you got this guy, Shane Brewer, I remember. Was he coached by Malcolm Blight at Woodville West Torrens?
No, he wasn't. No, Blighty was at Geelong.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. Blighty was at Geelong.
Because he coached with Woodville West Torrens.
Yeah, he did. Well, Woodville, before the merger, in the mid-80s.
Yeah. No, I'm really looking forward to that because he played with some seriously good players at Geelong, and he was a seriously good player.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he played 120-odd games.
Yeah, I reckon his career was probably, you don't tend to follow him as closely, his career was better at Geelong than Port?
Yes, yeah, he played 20-odd more games at Geelong. Yeah.
Yeah.
Played 70-odd at Geelong, and I think he averaged better than a goal a game.
And then 50 at Port.
About 50 at Port.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. I'm looking forward to that then.
He actually played in Port's first win in the AFL, which was against
the Cats.
Yep. And he also kicked Port Adelaide's first AFL goal against Collingwood at the MCG.
Oh, good. Oh, plenty to talk about then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
All right, Benny.
Right, now don't cut anything out of this, because when I'd like to hear back and hear all the bits that are no cutting room floor out of this.
Kerr's Hire, Geelong's official Wacker Neuson dealer. North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. KerrsHire.com.au.